What's up, y'all? Respect the Chat podcast. Back again.
Yes, sir.
Ryan is here. Mike is here. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, it's good to be back. We're doing our best. We're doing our best to get in weekly. But had to jump in. Big week. Steelers coming off a nice win and a short week here. So happy about that. I always enjoy the short week after playing well, because I'm just like, I'm hyped about my team and I'm like, I'm ready to watch them play again. So, but we'll get into that later. It's good to be back, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good too. Yeah. Skip week 6. I have a house full of people. If you hear people screaming in the background, little kids, it's okay. Yeah. Week 6 was awesome. Exciting. Dallas took a big loss, which stinks. Not a big loss, but like, you got to beat Carolina. They lost 30-27. Defense didn't show up at all for us, didn't make any of those turnovers. So I really wanted to get that win. So week 6 was tough for me because Dak Prescott's playing so good.
So good.
George Pickens is playing amazing, dude. Amazing. I wish. I know he said today he's uncertain about his future there with the Cowboys right now. Just, you know, can't say anything yet because you don't know what the season's going to be. But I wish they would re-sign him like right now. Just give him a deal, you know, 20-something million maybe per year, 3 years, something like that. We need him. I can't wait to see him and CD Lamb back, hopefully this week. But Dak is playing great. Pickens is playing great. Williams is running the ball. The offensive line is filling in. We have got so many starters out. The defense lost that game for us again. So tough week 6 for me. Proud of the Steelers, man. That was a tricky one. 23-9 Pittsburgh against Cleveland, divisional game. We didn't know how that one would go, but definitely for you, I agree. Proud of your team, the way they showed up. Aaron Rodgers, 235 yards, man. Wow, that was pretty cool. That's always good to see.
Mm-hmm. And no mistakes. That's the thing.
Yes, no mistakes.
He plays. You were
at the game? How was the environment there? What were the fans thinking?
Oh, it was jumping. So we went ahead, me, my girlfriend, a couple of our friends, went ahead and tailgated. It was a good time. Weather held up. But then we went out to this bar. If you're familiar with the Pittsburgh area, this bar in the North Shore is famous for having all the Steeler games, called McFadden's. It was jumping. It was jumping. Everyone was into the game, but this is every year. I've been there for a bunch of games. But there's just something different about this team, man. I'll get into it a little bit more when we start breaking down the games of next week. It just feels like something different about the way we're approaching each game. And what I mean by that is we know. And everyone knows the identity of the Steelers. But I feel like everyone knows that identity except for us in the past few years. So I feel like we never make any wrinkles, we never make any changes, and we just go out there but this year there's something. I think it's the Aaron Rodgers effect. I think there's a lot of respect from Mike Tomlin and from other coaches, Art Smith, obviously, offensive coordinator, and I think he's saying like what everyone else and Steeler fans and media have been thinking is, okay, yeah, we're comfortable with our identity. Let's throw in a wrinkle every now and again, keep people guessing so that we could do the things we want to do. So that was exciting to see the first play off rip. We got big Darnell Washington in motion, and everyone knows that when we run those jumbo sets we've been doing past few weeks, extra linemen in, get the big tight end, it's usually a run, right? We're trying to push the line, control the line of scrimmage. We go play action, sneak out Darnell Washington up the seam, 40-yard catch and run, first play of the game. So that set the tone for the whole game of, okay, we don't know what they're about to do. So I'm hoping they bring that energy next week. In terms of your Cowboys, Mike, that defense is just, it's so awesome for fantasy. I know it must be so painful as a fan. Of just, you got to score 60 to win games. Like, you got, it's unreal. It's unreal, especially you go and Bryce, we've talked about it on this podcast before. Bryce Young's significantly better at home, but still, you got to go in. That's a game you want to, if you want to compete, if you want to make a push for the playoffs, especially in your division, in your conference, you got to beat teams like the Panthers.
Yes, absolutely. Scored 20 in the first game against Philly, 40 in the second game against the Giants, 14 against the Bears. That's the one that stinks. 40 against Green Bay, 37 against the Jets, and 27 against Carolina. And we got 30, 22, 40, 31, 40, and 24 points back at us. So it doesn't matter how many we scoring. We got to, like, have the ball last every time or have, like, a turnover. So, yeah, it's been tough. And, yeah, a good point. If you're playing against them in fantasy, if you got a receiver, a running back, a quarterback, great. Hey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, week six. Let's put that in the books. Let's get to week seven. Hopefully, the Cowboys get a win. Hopefully, the Steelers get a win, which jumps off our first game, Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati, Thursday night football. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Mike Tomlin comments floating around. Have you seen any of this?
No.
And so we got, they do a Mike Tomlin live, live broadcast, live conference every, usually it's Tuesday. Usually it's Tomlin Tuesday, but on the short week, we do it on Monday. And pretty much he kind of speaks in riddles all the time on these, whenever he's speaking to the media, he doesn't really come out and say directly, but you kind of get an idea of how to translate it if you've been watching him long enough. But this time someone asked him about the Joe Flacco trade in the division, and he came out flat and said the GM of the Browns must just be smarter than everybody else, because Mike Tomlin sees no reason you would trade a guy that you think highly enough to be your day one starter and trade him to an interdivision rival, especially at a team that's hurting so badly at quarterback. So that's kind of been the talk in the news with this matchup. But we all know that we all know at this point of his career what Flacco is. He's going to make smart decisions. He's going to get rid of the ball, and they've got playmakers. So this game definitely becomes a lot more interesting with him at quarterback. But I just like the way the Steelers have been controlling their offense. They fight and push at the line of scrimmage. They do these jumbo sets with double tight ends and six offensive linemen, and now they're starting to make little wrinkles off of it with shots downfield to DK. So I think the offense is becoming serviceable in terms of they can put up 30 if they need to. They'll put up just enough to win the game. So on this Bengals defense, which is nothing to write home about, I'm not sure if Trey Hendrickson's going to be playing. I saw he's dealing with a little something. Also saw trade rumors about him, but give me the Steelers in that one.
Yeah, got to get the Steelers in that one. Hopefully he goes to the Cowboys. That'd be great. He is questionable. The Steelers are 4-1, leading the division, man. Unbelievable. I bet this is not what you thought, at least, you know, to start the year, 4-1 start. We know Baltimore is going to come out the gate hot, but, like, they're just, like, at top of that division playing pretty well, Pittsburgh. Yeah, I agree. I think Flacco going to Cincinnati helps that offensive a lot, helps those weapons of Higgins and Chase a lot. Helps Chase Brown to get going maybe a little bit. The offensive line is still stinky. The defense gives up a ton of points. So if Pittsburgh can come up with a turnover of Flacco and then capitalize, I think Pittsburgh wins this game as well. Where is the game? In Cincinnati?
It's in Cincy, yeah.
That'll be the only, you know, they'll have the crowd, you know, there, but the Pittsburgh fans are going to show up. Short drive over there and get them yellow towels flying in the air. I definitely got Pittsburgh too. And you know what about the Mike Tomlin comments? I get what he's trying to do there. He's just trying to fire up his team, maybe get under their skin a little bit. But it's like Mike Tomlin, he ain't trading, you know, like they're not trading Lamar Jackson, you know, in the division. They're trading Joe Flacco. That's not The plan was that never Joe Flacco to be there very long. And you know what that team is. You know, you don't have to say, well, if you had him as your first game, you know, week one starter, what are you doing? Because they got three quarterbacks. They drafted two. You know, they don't know what they're doing anyway over there. So this is a move that they can make. I got the Steelers, man.
Let's go.
That's my second home. I got to go with the second home.
Let's go. And if you just, you know, are tuning into the podcast and you're hearing someone get all sniffly and coughing over the mic, ruining all the audio, we got a special guest joining us today. Going to help us pick some of these games, talk a little fantasy. Welcome, Zach Serb. Let's go. Also known as Reek in the City Boys.
Yeah, we don't talk about that too much.
First of all, let's get your opinion on the Steelers Bengals, and then we'll talk a little fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I have Steelers all the way. That Cincinnati game, since they got in Joe Flacco, the fact that they improved that fast with him like being there for what, 4 days, I think it was.
Yep.
I think they made a good move, especially for the rest of their season. I did see those Mike Tomlin comments. He's always got interesting post-game and pre-game interviews. So to hear him say, you know, show his being a little displeased about that interdivision trade was a little bit interesting. But,
to say the least.
I mean, watching that Packers game was a little unnerving for me, especially in that second half, to see Flacco kind of show up a little bit, get a little bit more comfortable with the offense. I don't think that another week is going to do it to just, like, you know, make things click like that. So I definitely have the Steelers winning this game, especially after watching them last week. They look good. Mm-hmm. Rodgers looks great. I think the fact that they're getting DK involved a lot more is important. They don't really have a wide receiver two right now. So to kind of force feed him the ball a little bit more is big. I mean, that throw he had on the run, first, I think it was the first touchdown of the game, was just, yeah. I mean, throwback Rodgers.
Directing traffic, pointing guys
out. This is the first year that I've really, like, enjoyed watching the Steelers play. Like, they're fun to watch again. They haven't been in the past. You know, I formation, run the ball up the gut, you know, until the game's over. But I have Steelers winning this game for sure.
Yeah, a little bit of what I was saying before you hopped on, sir, was to Mike, something different about this team that they have this identity, and I won't repeat it for everybody listening, but they have the identity of, you know, run the ball, play tough in the trenches. But I feel like there's this little bit of a Rodgers effect happening where it's like, okay, everyone knows this is what we want to do. Let's find a way to make a little spin or a little wrinkle off of these plays where we're in these jumbo sets, yeah, but you still got to watch out for DK Metcalf. You still got to watch out for the tight ends because we could run play action, bootleg, hit you on a 30-yard pass out of these same formations that we might hit you with a counter run. So I am, I don't want to get caught up too much on one game, but yeah, I think we all got the Steelers there until, you know, obviously you got to respect the weapons of Cincinnati, but I think the way that the Steelers offense is showing lately, if it's a shootout, it's a shootout, but give me the Steelers in that one.
Yeah, and it's not so much like kick the field goal every time you get in the rest either. Like, Boswell's needs a rest. You know what I'm saying? Rodgers there is letting them know, like, listen, I guarantee when he's in the offensive meetings, he's saying, like, we're not kicking field goals when we get in the red zone. Four in touchdowns. And he got 10 touchdowns and 3 picks. We haven't seen that Aaron Rodgers in a long time. So I agree. Pointing and jiving and juking and being Aaron Rodgers, man.
He looks happy, man. He got the smile came back.
Yes, he does look happy. He's strapping it up a little bit with the dance every now and then. I hate him, but he's a Steeler. It's hard to hate him as much. When he's a Packer and a Jet, it's easy. When he's a Steeler, it's a little hard. So,
yeah, I think it's the Mike Tomlin effect too with him. Like, they obviously are boys. Like, they've got a connection. He's happy to be there. He's happy to be coached by a guy that he enjoys and likes.
Yeah, you can tell he's just enjoying himself. He's answering questions in the post-game interviews and doing it all. But, sir, we'll usually throw the City Boys segment, fantasy segment, right in the middle – and then we'll pick the games at the end. But we just started with the Thursday night game. We'll pivot real quick to some fantasy talk, and then we'll get back and pick the Sunday games. I know you and Mike are currently scrapping 11-12 in the City Boys League. Talk to me your mindset going forward. There's a lot of football left. And in the City Boys League, for those who aren't familiar with our format, 8 teams make the playoffs. So you're never truly out of it. Right now, you guys are really only one game back of the 8 slot. So talk to me first. What's your mindset moving forward? Obviously, besides win.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this recently, about how our format is different. And the good thing about that is, like, you're never really out of it until, like, the very end of the tail end of the season. So it's encouraging to, like, you know, there's nothing worse than just, like, half of the league just phoning it in just because, you know, you're not going to make the playoffs. It's hard to stay optimistic, but I've seen seasons get turned around by just literally throwing out the team and starting over, making moves with whoever will make them. Sometimes that takes getting rid of your best player to get 2 people that'll fill the void that you currently have. So for me, I've probably know everybody's lineup up and down because I've gone through everybody to see, you know, what kind of moves need to be made. For this week, last week was tough because not only did my team score like 75 points, but like I was missing my only player who's really been producing for me this year. But, you know, it's a bye week. It happens. So, I mean, we got a little bit of time until Sunday. I've got Chase Brown on Thursday. So besides that, I would like to make another move, you know, prior to Sunday, just to like shake things up a little bit. Because right now, I mean, I'm versing RJ, who's got a tough team, really solid squad. And right now, like, I can't just sit on my team and hope that they're going to make changes. Like, I have to come to grips with it. We're 6 weeks into the season. Like, players aren't producing now. I don't think too much is going to change in certain positions. That Joe Flacco move gave me a little bit of optimism for Chase Brown. Maybe open up that run game a tiny bit. I know Joe Flacco likes to dump the ball off a little bit, especially with that offensive line. You know, you've got no time to really throw the ball downfield a lot of times. So trying to stay optimistic is probably the way I'm feeling going into this week, but I really need a win this week really badly.
Mike, you bounced back with your first win last week. How are you feeling right now?
Oh man, finally got a win. I needed it. I was pushing for it. I've been trying to make moves. I've made moves. I agree with Serb. I need to make more moves. And of course, sir, trading your best player. I mean, Justin Jefferson would look nice on my team. So
I'm sure he would.
Maybe we could figure something out. The lowest points in the league, which hurts a lot, because when guys score in this league, there's numerous ways to score. There's ways of losing points, too. It's a really good league with scoring. So, having 8 in the playoffs, you're never out until, you know, like the last couple weeks, like the last 2 weeks or so, I would say. So we're right there. But yeah, I think we both got to make moves. I think our issues on both our teams are that we have guys who are really good, you know, in the past, or maybe have flashes this year, but maybe people are scared to make a move on them because they're just like a T. Higgins, you know. I've been trying to move all year. Not having Joe Burrow hurts me because now it's like, well, I don't really know about T. Higgins. Maybe with Joe Flacco there now, he had a big bounce back week. Maybe, you know, I get some calls. But I need CeeDee Lamb to come back. Hopefully that happens this week. I'm still slacking big time in the running back area. I like that I got Vidal and from the Chargers. That helped a lot.
Yeah, you picked the right guy. I bid on the wrong guy apparently. Because I got Haskins.
I did that last week. I got DeMarcado and Carter took over. So it's like they've been wrong about that a lot. So hopefully that happens. I mean, he played against Miami, so we'll see. But I really need my running. I love Swift. I love having him, but it's like Pollard, Bill, Vidal now. Who's it going to be in that flex spot? if my receivers show up like they can, London, Brown, and Lamb, I think I can make, and Higgins, I could make a push here. I got Dart. I'm trying to take everybody into the dark side, man. I'm trying to turn everybody into wins for me. So I don't know. I'm scrapping. I love this league. I won it last year. So it hurts when you're not good in it because you want to be competitive in it. So if you think of any moves, let me know. I know all three of us always chop it up during the week or during the year. And me and Ryan just like, as much as we like talking because we're in-laws and family, we love just throwing trade ideas out. Whether nothing comes out of it or not, it just gets flowing for a second. We can go back to our day.
Mike, it's fun. That's the whole point of doing leagues like this. So it's like you don't want to just stick. I mean, if you got a really great team and you stick with the team, like that's one thing. But like the fun of it is like making moves and making trades and like. So I agree with that.
I think if me and Mike made a trade every time we talked about making a trade, we would have each other's teams already, like and probably traded them back to each other too. But
it's funny. It feels like a real GM that you could be in this league because everyone is pretty good about getting back you about a trade. Like even if you're throwing some ideas out there, like, hey, here's some feelers, here's some things I'm thinking about, and you usually get them back, which is good. So I like always throwing things out there, guys out there, you know, ideas out there. You know, you thinking this, looking to make any moves. So I think we're all – the thing about this league, too, is even if you're in first place and you have a – or you're in that top three, you always are looking – guys are always looking to get depth in, you know, and get ready for buys. So no one's ever comfortable, even though their record shows it. Everyone's always like, yeah, let me know what you think. You know, what do you think?
I've been trying to flip – I've been trying to flip a receiver for a tight end for the longest time. So on Monday morning, Tom was texting me. Shout out to T. He was texting me because I was just talking about how we went to a tailgate on Steelers Sunday. He was texting me about getting some stuff from my car. I was like, oh, by the way, what you want for Jake Ferguson? So I hit him up for Jake Ferguson, made that deal because I get Rashee Rice back this week. That wide receiver room is getting a little crowded. Mike Evans comes back with Noah Ibuka, more targets for him. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes moving forward. A lot of football left, though. Sir, you've got Justin Jefferson, right? And you were just talking about trades for maybe building your depth and strengthening your weak areas and then getting a little compensation. What is – and you said you've been looking at people's rosters. What is the ideal trade for Justin Jefferson right now to put you on the spot? If you were to send that trade right now, what would that be? What would that look like?
It's hard because, like he's a good player and, like, he's having a good year, but I want the world for him. And, like, I want a two-for-one, and I don't want just, like, I want a wide receiver and I want a running back, ideally. But, like, it's tough as somebody receiving that trade to, like, just give away two pretty solid pieces for – you know, obviously a stud wide receiver, but it's like, yeah, you're still giving away a lot. I've had multiple conversations with people. I talked to Wooly about a trade. We had a Devontae Adams, Kenneth Walker, not really in the mix, but I wanted to add him in it. And then I had with me and Steve talked to, and he was willing to give me, I think, Chris Olave, Xavier Worthy were his two that he was willing to part with. Another thing with that is, though, is like Steve's got a really good team, and I'd be giving him Justin Jefferson, and he'd be giving me one of his bench players and, you know, like a pretty decent wide receiver. So it's like, you know, I'm making his team a lot better, and I'm hopefully getting a little bit better in, you know, in return. But yeah, I mean, a two for one, I'd love a running back. I'd love another wide receiver. Calvin Ridley is wildly inconsistent, and he just hurt his hamstring, so I don't even know if he's going to play this week. I have Travion Henderson, who is, Lord knows if he's going to get any touches. Ramondre Stevenson could fumble four times, and he still might not get a red zone touch.
Yeah.
I was really optimistic, you know, when I traded for him, because against that game against the Steelers, you know, both of them are fumbling up a storm, and, you know, he's still not getting the burn that I thought he was, but Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty decent with my tight end. So if I could get a serviceable running back and a slightly above average wide receiver, I'd be more than happy with that.
Like an AJ Brown and a Vidal, or AJ Brown and Bill.
Here we go. Here it is.
Or AJ Brown and Pollard. That all of those sound slightly okay. I totally agree with you. I think it's Justin Jefferson trading him, right? Because it's Justin Jefferson. And it's like, but I agree with you. So now if you send him over to somebody else and someone sends back a wide receiver and a running back, it depends on what caliber they are, because they can't put themselves at a disadvantage either for one wide receiver, even though it's Jefferson. In this league, the depth is important to consider in trades at times.
Yeah.
Because of how good everybody is. If we maybe had a 10-man league, you could do something like that and maneuver, because you could waiver wire and manage to get through. This league's different with that. This league, you got to consider what you're giving up if you do a 2-for-1. And there's not many leagues where I play in where it's like that, where it's like, I'll do the 2-for-1, no problem, because I'm going to make up for it. My bench is okay. You know, the waiver wire, someone will pop up. But in this league, the waiver wire is the desert. It's the Sahara there.
It's
like bidding on guys that like you shouldn't even have to bid and spend money on. But this is the way this is. And this is why, honestly, I tell everybody at work too, this league is everyone pays attention. Everyone is putting in bids. Everyone is about it from the jump to the end. The drinks in between throw you off, man. You don't want to get those either. You ain't cool with just taking threes, you know, anything 3 and less. So, I mean, I would definitely be ready for a conversation. Like, I would have to part. It would be have to be like an AJ Brown and one of my running backs, not Swift, because I gotta have one stable guy. But the other guys and Brown, I think, are available. You know, I would even throw him maybe. I know you have Chase Brown, but maybe a Higgins, and maybe I get a Ridley back. I don't know. Okay. I think there's things in the air. If you want to nitpick my team a little bit, I'm wide open.
I got you. I'm gonna look.
Okay, we're making live deals over here.
I'm going to look.
Listen to that.
I've been looking at it. The teams that I'm looking at are like teams that can afford to lose like a semi-decent running back. So they might actually consider like, all right, this guy's just rotting on my bench.
I hate to do this, sir, because I don't want to make anyone's team better. I really don't. But you might consider hitting up Jovan. He has got a lot of guys that are kind of in that mid-tier, like, decent, solid players, but he has a lot of them, and he always has to make the decision, which one do I play this week? His problem right now is he's not healthy, but he's got a lot of guys. If you look at his team, like, his entire bench could start on someone else's team. It's just a matter of when they get healthy or if they're healthy, but that might be something. Maybe like a, I know he's got Dobbins, maybe like a, you know, a Dobbins and a, you know,
and
someone like that, you package them together, you throw them Jefferson and Travion, you know, and there you go. Now you got two solid RBs and a wide receiver, but you got time.
Are you, when you're doing this, when you would maybe do a deal for him, are you thinking like, if I, you know, am I cool with, like, what's the offenses look like, right? I try to look at that too. Like, okay, if I'm Sutton and you wouldn't get a Sutton and Dobbins, right? You probably maybe go a Watt and you could replace your Tyreek Hill loss, because you did lose Tyreek Hill, which stinks, man. That's a tough guy to lose. Maybe you get Waddle in there, but what does that offense look like? Like, what exactly is Miami? Do I want to play that game with Miami? And yes, Denver runs the ball, but Harvey's in there. They get a split. Like, I try to think about that all the time. Like, what am I getting back, and what does that offense look like moving forward?
I'm definitely looking at that. I feel like I was looking at a guy like Xavier Worthy, and I was pretty high on him. And then I was like, well, then, you know, they got wide receivers coming back.
My boy Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice is coming back this week. You know, like, he might be putting up numbers for a week. He's also got that shoulder injury. I also, like, if I'm going to get a guy like that, you know, I want him on a high-volume offense like the Chargers, something like that, with a good quarterback who's getting a lot of targets. Like, regardless of, like, the output week in and week out, if they're getting a lot of targets, law of averages, you're hoping to get at least, you know, 10 to 14 ideally, like a week, like I'd be happy with that. And then like a serviceable running back, somebody who's getting me 10 points consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I don't have that. I have no consistency on my team at all besides Justin Jefferson. So it's like, you know, Travion Henderson, I might be drinking for him next week. I don't know. Chase Brown has been terrible, and it's not all his fault. It's an unfortunate situation with Joe Burrow getting out. Michael Pittman, I like a lot. He's a little bit touchdown dependent for me. So, you know, it's guys like that. They're just high volume guys getting a lot of catches. Chris Olave is somebody I consider just because of that. Like, he might have 13 catches for 14 yards.
Yeah, but they let, you know, Spencer Rattler throw the ball.
Catches, so it's like, yeah. So those are the guys I'm looking for. I think it's underrated to just like finding somebody on a good team as far as just like a good player. Like, you try to stay away from guys on the Dolphins, even though like I named my team Tyreek, you know, Reek. Mm-hmm. But you go for guys that are on kind of high powered offenses, get
which
those targets.
Which that Dolphins team can be. They've supported multiple guys before, and right now they've got, you know, it's just it all runs through Tua, obviously, and you know, the schematics and just the vibes over there are low right now, but you still got time. Still make some moves. I mean, sounds like you got a live offer here on the City Boys segment of the Respect the Chat podcast. But let's go ahead and get into picking the game, sir. Me and Mike, every week we go through, we talk a little bit about each side. We talk about straight up and against the spread. Since we got three of us, we'll, you know, try to keep our thoughts to a minimum. But I'll start. We already covered the Thursday game. Let's go ahead and start with this Sunday game. We're live again overseas. I think this one's London again. It's the Rams at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I do say at the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Jags are pretty much home in London. The Rams are 3-point favorites. Over-under is 44.5. Mike, I'll let you start with this one. Who you got?
It's tough, man. I don't know who the Jaguars – like, I think the Jaguars are good, right? I think Trevor Lawrence is getting better. Like, he's waking up. He's throwing the ball down the field. They finally got Brian Thomas Jr. involved. That has to happen. ETN's having a pretty good year. Liam Cohen is, like, got this team turned around. Did they got him turned around enough to continue this success? They're, what, 4-2? They're second in the division. They beat Carolina. They lost to the Bengals. They beat Houston. They beat San Francisco. They beat Kansas City, and they lost to Seattle. So I think, you know, but the Cincinnati loss is bad. Other than that, they did what they needed to do. The Rams are a little bit shaky. Puka Nacua is a little banged up, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's going this week.
He's okay. Questionable still.
I'd be very surprised if he played.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jacksonville. I'm going to ride the high of the offense. The defense is playing pretty good too. So, give me the Jags. Who would you start really quick? Jackson Dart against Denver or Trevor Lawrence against the Rams?
Man, that's a tough one. Honestly, I would go Trevor Lawrence. The reason being, it seems like he's using his legs a bit more. I would say Jackson Dart for the upside of the rushing because that Denver defense is tough. He's going to have to use his legs, Jackson Dart. But it seems like they've been trying to get Trevor Lawrence to use his legs like he did in college. So I think just purely in terms of if we're looking at team totals, yeah, so the over-under for that Giants-Denver Broncos game, this is something I like to look at too when I'm deciding between two guys. The projected Vegas total points for that game, Giants Broncos, is only 40, whereas this one's 44.5. So they're thinking there's going to be more scoring. To me, you know, if you get into a shootout with Matt Stafford, you're going to have to throw the ball. So I like Trevor Lawrence in that one, Mike. Sir, what do you think?
I like that.
I agree. I think Jackson Dart has a higher ceiling with week in, week out, what he can do with rushing the ball. I also think that he can go out and just have a terrible game. So I think Trevor Lawrence is definitely the safer pick. And I think that Jacksonville offense is really starting to click a little bit more. They're getting Travis Hunter involved a little bit more in the offense. I think that's helping out. So, yeah, I agree. I think
that's the move.
Do you go Jacksonville or do you go LA in that matchup?
Although I do think they're trending in the right direction, I think I still take the Rams here. I don't fully trust this Jacksonville team. I think the Rams, even though it is pretty much a home game, you're right. They play in London like 3 times a year. But I think even without Puka Nacua, I think Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense is pretty high powered. I think Devontae Adams is getting a lot more involved, and I think that they just outplay them on offense.
Yeah, I can see that. I could definitely see a lot of points being scored in this. This Jags defense has played better recently. I know it's tough to take a matchup with the Ravens seriously at this point. I mean, they're just incredibly banged up. I have to wait until Lamar gets back to truly grade that team. But in terms of this matchup, I'm gonna go with the Rams as well. I just think that if we're projecting it to be a high-scoring game, I like, and I've said before on this podcast, I like Matthew Stafford in a shootout over anyone else. So I'm gonna take the Rams. That -3 is a good number. If it gets to 3.5, you know, in terms of betting lines, I might have to start thinking about Jacksonville. But give me the Rams in that one. We finally moved to the main slate. Sunday, 1 p.m. First game we'll start with, the Eagles taking on the Vikings. They go to Minnesota, and they're road favorites, 2.5 points, over under 43.5. I'll start with this one. I don't know what the Vikings are doing with J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, this whole experiment of, I don't know what. Like, I'm genuinely curious of what they saw in J.J. McCarthy that made them so confident in letting go Sam Darnold, just let him walk for nothing. They let Daniel Jones out the door, and I understand that he needs more reps. I understand that he has been injured, but I'm not entirely confident that he's the answer. I'm seeing reports that they might hold him out longer to work on his mechanics, you know, just try to get him his steps in order. And he's a second year guy. To me, it's just a little confusing. I do like Kevin O'Connell. I do think that if anyone can, you know, get him in the right track, it's probably Kevin O'Connell. But I think this is a bounce back game for the Eagles. They go on the road. The Vikings are trending in the wrong direction. They don't know what's going on at quarterback. Give me the Eagles in that one.
Yeah. Carson Wentz is going to play, right? I don't think McCarthy's ready yet.
I don't think McCarthy's ready yet, but I also think that Carson Wentz is a little banged up too. I'm not sure. I'll pull that up for you while you talk about the game.
I think what Minnesota, and I don't know if this is true, but I think what Minnesota seen in McCarthy was maybe with the Giants seen in Dart of like just a dude who could turn the team around, be a franchise guy, bring juice, because he is passionate, that kid, when he's out there, man. And he's like, the team wants to play for him. You know, I think him and Justin Jefferson, you know, got a little, you know, like good friendship thing going, that maybe they can get a little dynamic duo. But I agree with you, like, Darnold was told you exactly what he could do. The Daniel Jones one, who knew that was going to happen, so I'll let that one slide. But they had their guy. I think Darnold was the guy to sign, and they had McCarthy on a rookie deal. You didn't need to commit to him yet. Ease him in and let him sit again. I agree with you. I disagree with the way that this franchise handled this. I don't know what they're doing. I'm unsure of who they're going to be each week, Minnesota. But crazy to say that. I think the Eagles are going to lose 3 in a row. Ooh. I think the Eagles lose to Denver, lose to the Giants, and they lose to Minnesota. And they go there, and the Skull Gang is going, and the chant is happening. And Carson Wentz, or whoever it is, leads them to another victory. And again, another week of silence. from all the Eagle fans. I really hope that's what happens. I think Minnesota comes out and plays ball, man, this week. I think they're ready to go.
I like it. Also, real quick before you go, sir, Wentz practice in full, so he'll be started.
Okay. Boy, would I like that. I would love to not hear from Eagles fans for another week. And I agree with you with the quarterback situation. Completely ridiculous. I kind of see what they see in J.J. McCarthy, but when you watch him play, it's like you see flashes of it, but it's not together. It's not there yet. Like, he had that fourth quarter that he had his week one, week two, whatever it was. Like, I mean, people were talking about it for like, and then he played the next game and then, you know, he didn't really have it. But I agree with you, Nex. I think that the Eagles are going to win this game. Mm-hmm. I actually like Carson Wentz a lot. I think he's a real positive for this team. I haven't really liked what I've been seeing from Jordan Mason. He's a little slippery with the ball recently. A little yippy, maybe. I don't know. I think Aaron Jones is still on IR, so he's out for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles' defense is too high-powered for this team, this kind of banged-up Vikings team. So, yeah, I think the Eagles take this one.
All right.
You know what would be...
Go ahead, Mike.
Is if Mitchell is out, if the corner Quinyon Mitchell is out for the Eagles, I think that with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson there, and now let's really see what this secondary... Like, they got a little banged up last game against the Giants. You know, that Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are two, like, really talented wide receivers, man. And shout out to Jordan Addison, man. I feel like that guy don't get enough love. He is so good, man.
Yeah.
He just showed week. I think he gets suspension every year. He's got to cut that out a bit. But other than that, the guy is solid, man. So I'd be interested to see what that secondary looks like at Philly. The defense, I think, took a little hit. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, someone's got to take that guy's keys, man. I think it's he got in a, I don't know, something the first year, hit and run or something. The next year, he had a DUI. This guy needs to figure it out with the car keys, man. Get yourself a driver. anyway, the Raiders, the hapless Raiders, oh my goodness, go into Arrowhead, go to Kansas City as 11.5-point underdogs. Chiefs get Rashee Rice back. Chiefs rolling right now. You know, the media can't wait to talk about the Chiefs as soon as they get a win. And Mahomes does look really good. Over-under is 45.5 in this game. I guess they're expecting Kansas City to score 46 points. Sir, what do you... Not much to talk about here, but...
I can already hear Chris Collinsworth talking about this game. I mean, the Chiefs are going to kick their teeth in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Kansas City team has a little bit of momentum now, finally. They've had a really, really tough schedule to start off the year. Like, they've had really more difficult than most teams. And now I think they're really starting to get that. This is what they do every single year. So, yeah, I don't think it's – I think they cover, too. I think – I don't know, was that 12.5 right now, 13, something like that?
It's at I'm looking at 11.5, but you know that's probably going to go up.
Yeah, I think if it's at 11.5, I think they cover. I don't think it's as much of a game.
Mike, what do you think?
I agree. I think that's a great point to bring up, sir, is their schedule so far this year. They lose to the Chargers week one, 27-21, close game. They lose to Philly 20-17, week two, close game. They beat the Giants, you know, pretty well. But me and Ryan were talking about this in the podcast. When they went into Baltimore, that was a big game to play against Baltimore, and they won that game. Baltimore wasn't, you know, as bad as they are now, I think, at this point. So that was a really good win. They lose to a Jaguar team who's pretty solid, 31-28. They're still in that game. And then they beat the Lions, man. Really good win against the Lions, 30-17. So, yeah, I think having Rice back, Worthy's there. Kelsey could do what he needs to do now. Just be, you know, just get open. I think they still need to develop a run game in order to be the Chiefs. Like, Pacheco's getting more of the touches lately here, but then it's got to be him, man. Let guys get into rhythms. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think they're very hard to beat at home, and the Raiders stink. So,
yeah, not much else to say on that one. I got the Chiefs. I'm excited to get Rashee Rice back into my lineup. Full steam ahead. Anyone from the Raiders side, I guess Jenty you could play just from the volume standpoint. I think Brock Bowers is out. I think they already ruled him out. Other than that, not really interested in anybody else in terms of fantasy. Next one's an interesting one. The Saints go on the road to play the Bears. And the only reason I say it's an interesting one is because the Bears at home are 5.5 point favorites, and for some reason that 5.5 always is sneaky bad line. I don't understand teams that you think so. Saints are not the greatest team. They have one win and it's against the Giants at home. You would expect them to go on the road and be at least touchdown or more underdogs against a Bears team that just beat Washington and has some good wins this year. But Saints look better than I anticipated. I'll start by saying that. Saints, Kellen Moore is just letting Spencer Rattler spin the ball. They're getting the ball out. They're throwing it like 40-plus times a game. I saw someone call it ethical tanking is what they're doing. They're tanking and they're losing games, but they're making it at least fun to watch. They're making, you know, your fantasy players happy if, you know, Olave's been all right. Kamara's been decent, and there's been a lot of volume there. But I don't think there's much else in this one. I think the Bears, with Ben Johnson, are starting to figure it out. If they keep utilizing their weapons, I know it's a bit of a short week after they just went on the road, big win, potential letdown spot. I think they get the job done. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if the Saints covered. One of those weird, you know, they're winning by 11 and Saints score a garbage time touchdown and the Bears win by 4, you know, something like that. Wouldn't surprise me, but give me the Bears in that one. Mike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I got the Bears too. The Bears won 3 in a row. Didn't even realize that. They beat Dallas, Dallas, Vegas, and the Commanders. And they beat Vegas 25-24 and they beat Washington 25-24. So the Bears are getting maybe a little hot. I mean, I know you play who you play, but man, Caleb Williams, I know this guy gets a lot of flack, but this dude got a strong arm, man. When I watch him play, like he's running like one direction and throwing across his body in the other. And he's, you know, avoiding sacks at times, sometimes too many, and making a bad play. But I just feel like he plays like backyard football and the offensive coordinator, what's his name again? I mean, the head coach?
Kellum. Yeah.
And Ben Johnson, his name slipped my mind. Ben Johnson's probably like, yo, dude, you got to play like we have a system here. Like, we got to get you, you know, three-step drop. This guy's going to be here. So I think he's like got to get him more on his page. And I think he'll look a little bit better as time goes on. But I'll take the Bears over the Saints because the Saints, I think, play tough, but they're just happy to get out there, I think.
Happy to play.
Yeah.
Get their paychecks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's too much to this game. I think the Bears win. I think the Saints cover, especially if it stays at 5.5. This Bears offense, I think you can attribute a lot of it to Ben Johnson and the development of Caleb Williams. But also, Roma Dunze has been a stud this year.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, when you're a quarterback, when you're a young quarterback, you find your guy like that. That's important. You got somebody you're always looking for. Caleb Williams definitely improved a lot from his rookie year. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the Bears win this game. I don't think their defense is anything to write home about, especially their run defense. But I don't think the Saints offense is good enough to take advantage of that.
Well said. Yeah, Roma Dunze has been a bright spot for me in fantasy. Got him pretty late in the draft, and so I'm hoping that continues. So I'm happy to see his development and Caleb Williams as well. This next one is a bit of a gross game. The Dolphins travel to Cleveland, Ohio to take on the Browns in a game that Cleveland is favored. Cleveland is favored to win this game 2.5 points, over under of 39.5. I think it's supposed to be like 50 degrees and rainy, so you know how it is with Tua whenever he gets, you know, gross weather. Browns, Dolphins. maybe fire up Quinshon and Judkins on this one because they can't stop the run. Sir, what do you see from this matchup?
I see a gross matchup. That's what I see. I don't know. I see... I think weather dependent. Honestly, I was going to take Miami in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dylan Gabriel stinks. I think the fact that they have him thrown the ball 53 times, and the most he's ever thrown in his entire career, I think that's ridiculous, especially when you got a running back like Quinton Jenkins. I can't even talk.
Judkins.
That Browns defense, I mean, it's a really, really solid defense. You can't, you know, you got to talk about that. But I think, looks like we're changing scenery here. One second.
Sorry.
Hold up.
Oh, here we go. Well, while you're changing scenery, let's talk about Myles Garrett's win rate versus double team chip block percentage. You see this PFF stuff, how he was graded higher than TJ Watt in a game where he did absolutely nothing.
Every year they do that.
Yeah, it's been a big deal this week, and like all of, you know, the Pat McAfee show and like pundits like that are covering it, because I mean, what the problem was, the PFF guy, like their leader or whatever, came out and had to defend his like the company's grading, and what he said made no sense. So a lot of people are kind of dissecting his breakdown of Myles Garrett had a great game, but it didn't show up because the Steelers had a great game plan. So how do you get highly rated in a game you don't affect? He didn't have any QB pressures. I think he had one QB pressure, zero QB hits, but he's a great player, phenomenal player. I think he's going to terrorize the Dolphins. So I agree. I think weather dependent, I think the Browns at home get that one done purely based off defense. I think Dylan Gabriel is not the answer at all. I don't know. I don't think he was a third round pick. I'm just not a fan of these college quarterbacks that spent 7 years in college on four different teams, and all of a sudden, okay, let's let that guy throw 50 times against in a division game against a really good defense. So, yeah, I think that's a defensive matchup. I think the Browns defense get that done in an ugly, low-scoring game. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a hard game to pick, too, because if it is slap. I think Miami struggles and Tua specifically in that, and if it's raining, if it's a little cold, we're getting into fall weather. Finally, thank God, sweating out to wear to work half the days, because it's like, yo, I leave, it's cold midday, sweating. Of course, it's like, I don't know what's happening there either. I don't know if I should wear shorts or a long sleeve, but we're getting into fall weather, and fall weather usually means Tua starts getting chilly. You know that he's not about it, still in the league, and he can't figure that out. I agree. I don't know what Cleveland is doing with Dylan Gabriel. We're going to see this a lot, right, with these quarterbacks. A lot of, you know, the transfer portal puts them in different offenses, and then they go to the NFL maybe a little later than they needed to, and maybe they get success, but sometimes, most of the times, they struggle and to get their feet and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm going to take Cleveland just because I think the weather is a little rougher. I think the defense shows up, though. I don't think it has much to do with the offense. I agree. I think Judkins has a good game. I hope Fannin Jr. has a good game. I got him in one league. That would be cool. And Dylan Gabriel has shown he likes him. So give me the Browns and the dog pound getting a victory. Miami's, I don't know what Miami's got to do, but I don't really trust anything they do.
Yeah, those teams stink. And speaking of two teams that stink, the Carolina Panthers go and take on the New York Jets. Oh, we're just getting a treat this Sunday in the 1 o'clock slate. The Panthers are road favorites at MetLife, 1.5 point favorites. It's pretty much a pick 'em. I don't know. This is the classic battle of the Jets stink. Now they have no Garrett Wilson. And Bryce Young is not great on the road. And I've said that a million times, but he's not. He's almost a completely different player. I'm going to go ahead and take the Panthers in this one. I think the Jets find a way to lose. I think they just find a way to lose. Their defense is not as great as I think we anticipated coming into this season. I think we expected that to be their strong suit. The Panthers, you can run on them. So I think the dual threat of Bryce, Breece Hall and Justin Fields' legs, not really worried about his arm at this point. I think they can do some damage, but I think Bryce Young has showed he's kind of clutch. He's led a lot of fourth quarter drives recently. I saw a stat about that. So I'll go ahead and take the Panthers in this one and pick them. Hopefully my guy Tet McMillan gets rolling. I've got him on fantasy, but Mike, what do you think in this one?
Yeah, I think Carolina beats teams who stink. with the Falcon game. The Falcon game is just a wild one, but they beat Miami, who's got a terrible defense. They beat the Cowboys, who got a terrible defense. The Jets got a terrible defense. I think they are going to beat them. I think they just got to run Rico. Let Rico stay on this high. let him cook. Let him catch it. Let him run it. Let him do everything with it. T-Mac, I think, has a good game as well. Is what's his name healthy on the other side? Is Garrett Wilson healthy on the other side?
No, he's not going to play.
Yeah, so they and that's good. I think Tom has him, and I'm playing Tom. So.
There you go.
He does.
Works in my favor. I'm trying to take him to the dark side, too. I'm trying to take T's team to the dark side, man, here. Yeah, I'll take the Panthers. Why not?
Everybody think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Jets are just losers. They find a way to lose every single game. That's really what it comes down to. And I think the Panthers, you talked about Tet and Rico. I think Tet, seeing some of those receptions go into the end zone, I think that's a big boost for him. He's been great all year, but the fact that, you know, he scored when he was playing against me, but
twice.
It's good to see. I like him. He's a good wide receiver. I think he's going to have a bright future. Rico Dowdle has just been tearing it up. And I think that without the threat of someone like Garrett Wilson, like obviously the Jets, you're not too worried about their passing game, but now you have almost nothing to worry about. Like, you know, keep a spy on Justin Fields, mm-hmm. Stop the run game, play offense. I think the Panthers won this game.
Yeah. So all three in agreement on that one. Last 1 o'clock game, Patriots head down to Tennessee in a Mike Vrabel revenge game. They're 7-point favorites. Tennessee kind of figuring it out here. They fire the head coach. I'm not sure what Brian Callahan, that whole relationship with the advisor or something, his dad. I don't know what the whole situation was, but the coach's dad, Callahan, he was someone higher up in the Tennessee organization. He left. He stepped down. So they're doing a bit of an overhaul here. Doesn't look like, sir, you have him on your fantasy team. Doesn't look like Calvin Ridley is probably going to play this week.
No, I don't think so. Hamstring's never a good sign.
Yeah. So I like the Patriots in this one. Until the Tennessee Titans prove that they can win a game. They have one win, but that's just because the Cardinals literally handed it to them, packaged it up, shipped it express overnight, handed them the game. But New England Patriots, Drake, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Drake May. Again, like we've been saying with some of these teams, they got to figure out the run game. You mentioned it, Serb, in the fantasy segment, but who is their running back? It's obviously they like Ramondre a lot, but they can't get that run game going. But I think this is where it starts. This Tennessee team stinks. And this is kind of where you put it all together if you're a New England Patriots team that just beat the Bills, just beat just, you know, beat up on the Saints at home. You continue that momentum rolling and give me the Patriots in this one.
This is Tennessee is in shambles. I thought Callahan's dad was the offensive line coach. I didn't know if he was something higher than that.
I really have no clue. So he might have been the water boy for all I know.
He was the offensive line coach.
They made it seem like a big deal with him leaving, though. Like, when you saw the news, it was like, oh, Jim Callahan steps down. I'm like, okay, he must be someone important.
Nah, I think he was the offensive line coach. And I don't know. I don't think they gave this guy long enough. Just made a draft pick of Cam Ward. Now you're going to bring a guy in who didn't draft Cam Ward. I hate these situations when they play. Just bad GM, you know, move, bad ownership move. Come on, man. You knew these guys weren't going to be great anyway. So ride out the year, see what happens, reevaluate, get them some weapons, get them something. I don't know. I feel like they quit on that guy too early. Yeah, I'll take New England. I think New England's good. I think they got a real favorable schedule all year, New England, to make a good run. Big win against Buffalo. I like them winning against Tennessee. Mike Vrabel revenge game.
Yeah, I agree. I think this Patriots team actually looks pretty good. It's hard. Like, I think they're really starting to trend. You know, they've had some big wins against, obviously, against Buffalo. And then you see them, you know, early on in the season against a team like the Steelers, where they looked like, you know, they couldn't hold on to the ball, the turnover city. But I think they're trending in the right direction. Drake May is obviously one of the bright spots on that team and on my fantasy team, one of the only guys who gets me points. I think Patriots win this game. I think they cover. I think Tennessee stinks. Cam Ward's got nobody to throw to. So, yeah,
I think Patriots got this one for sure.
All right. Well, we're getting into the 4 o'clock slate. We'll just rapid fire these next few, and then we'll get to the Cowboys game. Mike, I'll let you riff a little bit more about that one. But Giants go to Denver. I got Denver in that one. They look good. I take that back. They looked terrible against the Jets in London. They looked terrible. But their defense is very solid. I think they're going to give that Giants offense a bit of trouble. I think they'll figure it out at home on offense. Give me the Broncos. They're 7-point favorites. Over-under's 40.5. Give me the Broncos and the Broncos to cover. Sir, what do you think about that one?
I agree. I think the Giants, they're so thin on the wide receiver end right now. Obviously, loving what you've seen from Cam Scottabill, but I agree. I think Denver wins, but I think the Giants cover. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Giants put up a good fight. I think fantasy-wise, I think Dart and Scattaboo have a pretty decent game. But I got the Broncos winning. Broncos defense is number one in sacks, number one in third down, number one in red zone, number one in defensive EPA, whatever the heck that is, number two in scoring defense after six. And they're getting Dre Greenlaw back. Like, what the heck? This defense just, like, went nuts, man. I think Denver wins. Hard to win in Mile High, so.
Yeah.
Give me the Broncos.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. All those top defense. I didn't know that about the Denver Broncos defense. I knew they were good. I didn't know they were that good.
Yeah.
Mike, this next one, tough game, division game at home. Commanders at the Cowboys. I'll start, then I'll go to Serb. I'll let you have the final word on your Cowboys. But tough loss for the Commanders in the last one against the Bears. Again, this Cowboys team looks so good on offense and so bad on defense. And this over-under reflects that. 54.5 points. I think this is the highest total of this season so far. Give me the Cowboys, Mike. Give me the Cowboys. The reason being, I think they can win a shootout. I think that's exactly what this is going to be. That number reflects it, 54.5. Commanders are still figuring some things out, getting healthy. I don't know if they get Terry McLaurin back this week or not. I see he's been limited. He hasn't really been practicing. But regardless, both sides have a lot of weapons. I'm not sure if Dallas gets CD back. Looks like he's trending in the right direction. That's the case. I like it even more. But to pick them plus, you know, plus 1.5, minus 1.5. Either way, give me the Cowboys to win.
Oh, yeah, this one's so tough, man. Their offense is so good, but their defense is just almost ranks the last in the league in almost every category. Mm-hmm. So it's really tough. I think Jaden Daniels gives them problems this game on the offensive end. If CeeDee comes back, I think that changes things a little bit, but I hate to do this to you, but I think Washington takes this one.
Yeah, I think this is a really hard game because it's a divisional game. They're always hard to pick. The offense is on fire for the Cowboys. We were saying earlier, George Pickens looks amazing. So that's really cool. If Lamb comes back, I really like our chances to win this game. I want him to come back healthy, though. I don't want him to rush back if he doesn't need to. But I would like him to come back, and it is a home game. So I am going to go with the Cowboys in this one. And yeah, I think it's, if you're going to play the Cowboys, you got to be ready to score a lot of points. Are the Commanders ready to do that? You know, are they committed to the run game once they start going down? I don't know if Jaden Daniels is just going to sit back there and throw the ball around the field. No Terry still, right?
Doesn't look like it. I don't know.
He's questionable. So we'll, I don't know where the points come from, but you know, I've seen it happen before against the Cowboys. So we'll see. I think it's closer, you know, close for comfort, but I got the Cowboys. I got the offense scoring a lot of points, and Dak Prescott continues his run. I mean, from two non-Cowboy fans, like, how impressed are you by Dak Prescott, or do you think it's just that he has to do this because they're down a lot, or what?
No, I think he's good. I think he's having a great year. I'm impressed with what I'm seeing from him. I mean, he put up 40 against Green Bay. That was a tough watch. I don't know. I think this is the Dak that we had 2 years ago who was slinging it. So I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think it's just because their defense is so bad, but
Mike, not only am I impressed, I think if the Cowboys are winning games, he'd be an MVP candidate. He's playing at the highest level I think we've seen him play. I think he feels confident, strong, healthy. Another year removed from that gruesome injury. He just looks great. He looks like who you paid him to be. I don't think that's a fluke at all. I think that he can support multiple valuable fantasy players, and that just speaks to how much confidence they have in letting him drop back, throw the ball. And, I mean, at this point, they need him. So I do think there's an element of that but you see Javonte Williams and that run game working as well. So I just think it's a total package that completely runs through him. So I definitely don't think it's a fluke. Well, we move from one of your teams to the next. We've got the Packers visiting the Arizona Cardinals. And, sir, I want to get your opinion on the Packers this year because they started out, you know, with the Micah trade and all this buzz. They go out, they beat the Lions handily, and so far, you know, then they lose to the Browns, and then they have a close game against the Bengals. You know, there's this weird up and down sort of season with the Packers. They now go into Arizona, a team that blew a huge lead to Tennessee, but then comes back and fights hard against Indianapolis. Don't know if Kyler Murray is going, but Green Bay is 6.5-point road favorites. How do you feel about your team?
These are the games that really scare me as a Packers fan, because the Packers tend to play down to their opponents sometimes. I think that the Arizona team is, I don't think this is a good Arizona team at all. Their defense is pretty solid. I think the Packers should win. I think they should cover for sure. It's so hot and cold with this team, and I think it's been the case with Jordan Love since he's been the starting quarterback. It's like you never really know what Jordan Love you're going to get. He could throw for 300 yards, or he could throw three ridiculous interceptions, game-changing interceptions. The defense I haven't loved what I've seen from this defense the past few weeks, especially from, I think, the first few weeks when we got Micah Parsons. It looked, I mean, they looked incredible. It was one of the better defenses I've seen in a long time in the NFL. And then I'm not exactly sure what happened, but they've definitely fallen off a little bit. I expect them to bounce back this week. I expect them to cover. I expect them to win this game handily. It's just a matter of, they've been a great first half team this whole year. And then the second half, even last week, the Cincinnati game, they kind of let Cincinnati back into the game a little bit. They've kind of thrown in the towel a little bit, I think, after the first half. So I don't think they've been satisfied with the wins that they've had. So I think that they go into Arizona, and I think they win the game handily.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think the second half needs to pick up. They're dropping the ball, not literally, but in the second half, they're letting teams back in. Quay Walker got 50 tackles, no sacks. Roshan Gary got 4.5 sacks, 18 tackles. I like not seeing Micah Parsons' name up there. I thought I was going to look at the defensive stats and see Micah Parsons making a huge impact. Maybe he is, you know, like with the pressures and.
Oh, he's got the Myles Garrett stats.
That's the unrealized yards.
Yeah, stat. Unrealized sacks.
Unrealized sacks.
Give me a
unrealized
break.
There you go. You got to love those. However many millions of dollars my man's making, but God bless him, man. Yeah, the Packers are winning this game, dude. And I agree with you, sir. I think they got to make a statement, play a full game, smack this team up, and get back out of there and go on with their schedule. I just wanted to see who they got. They got Pittsburgh after that, man. Good game.
Sunday night? Good. Or Monday night?
Yeah.
It's a prime time real game.
So that's the thing. I feel like I agree with you. It could happen, though. Look past Arizona to a humongous game against Pittsburgh, get caught up in that mix, find yourself with an L.
Yeah.
But I got
Green Bay. I do like what you're saying, Mike. I do think that this is that opportunity for them to, you know, you have a primetime game coming up. You're playing an Arizona team that, you know, you should beat handily. But I think they take care of business. I think they win by two touchdowns. I think this Arizona team, not only are they bad, they're hurt. I don't think Marvin Harrison has a good shot to go. He's been like limited with walkthroughs, and you know they're extra careful with concussions, especially nowadays. I'm not sure if Kyler Murray goes. So if both of those guys are missing, you add that in with a Packers team that, you know, wants to get some momentum going. Doesn't defensively like that they let that Bengals team slowly creep back into that game. But yeah, I agree with you both. I think Packers take care of business. Three games left. Sunday night football. We'll fly through these. Sunday night football, Atlanta at San Francisco. San Francisco is another one of those, you know, they got the medical wing over there. I mean, who's playing, who's not. I think they get Kittle back. I think they get Purdy back. I'm not entirely sure about that one. Him, Pearsall, Jennings, they are questionable every single day. So you'll have to wake up Sunday and see what they decide. But Atlanta looked good. Atlanta's defense has looked great. I know this cross-country travel isn't going to do them any favors. The 49ers just find a way sometimes to win. But I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think that they're going to lean on the run game a little bit more, especially on the road. And I mean, Bijan is just amazing. I'm so happy he fell to me at 5 in our fantasy draft. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how, but I'm very grateful that I got Bijan on my team in fantasy. But sir, what do you think about this real life matchup, Falcons Niners? It's a pick 'em, by the way, 1 point.
I like Atlanta in this game as well. I think I really liked what I saw from Penix this past game. I think he's really starting to get some momentum. Drake London, I mean, great pickup for you, Mike. He had a great game. He's been finding his stride again, like he was last year. Bijan, I agree. I don't know how he fell to you. I think he's the best running back in the league. I think he's one of the best athletes I've ever seen as a running back. And also Atlanta's defense is great. They have a great defense. So I think they shut down this 49ers team. I think Penix has a good game. I think Bijan has 2 touchdowns.
Let's go.
Nice. I hope London has 2 as well. And I got Atlanta, I got Atlanta as well. I think the travel over is always rough. We talk about that all the time. But I like their wins. I like that they beat the Commanders. They beat Buffalo. They beat Minnesota. They just lost to Tampa Bay, Atlanta. They got one blowout win where they, you know, had a brain fart or whatever the heck. They didn't show up. I don't know, against Carolina. But I think Atlanta is sneaky good. I agree. Defense is pretty good, too. Give me the Falcons.
Nice. And then just the dreaded, I hate this, and I will die on this hill, that back-to-back Monday night games, what are we doing? I won't rant about it again, but go ahead, Mike.
Is the multi, if you got YouTube TV, thank you, God, for YouTube TV, you can watch both, and if one's a little boring, me and my dad back and forth on them, and then you catch one at halftime, and the other one ends, but I agree.
Right, Mike. You're spot on. You're spot on, but that's when they do the 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, right? That's doable. Yeah. No, they do the back-to-back 7 o'clock, 10 p.m. game on Monday. No one's watching that, bro. No one's watching Monday, 10 p.m., Houston at Seattle. No one's watching that.
Not on the East Coast, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, especially not on the East Coast.
No.
But we'll first get into a much better game at 7 o'clock Monday. Thankfully, this is the first game. Tampa Bay at Detroit. Two really, really solid teams. Detroit needs to bounce back. They have, you know, after the loss to the Chiefs, they lost an early one in the season to the Packers. So not the two worst losses, especially now that we're seeing some of these, how some of this is shaking out. But Baker, man, Baker looks so good. Doesn't matter who he has out there. I think he gets Mike Evans back this week. It's trending that way. Still no Bucky, but Rashad White has looked great in his, you know, in replacement. I'll let you start with this one. Tampa Bay is getting 5.5 on the road.
Yeah, Buka, is he going to play? I know he's a little dinged up too.
I think he gets shut down for a few weeks.
Yeah, I think that hurts him a little bit. I like them getting Mike Evans back, and that helps teams as well. But I think Abuka has just been the guy for them consistently throughout the year, where Baker Mayfield is like throwing him, like sometimes it's over his head, sometimes it's to the left. This guy makes catches no matter what. I think Baker is the number one, you know, leader in MVP votes. He should be. I think Dak is right behind him. They're really close in stats too, but I think Baker's record, who he's beaten, and the way he's playing, he's definitely deserving of the MVP votes right now. And I think Tampa Bay is a really good team, man. They're coached well. Their special teams plays well. They got these kids stepping up, like Tez Johnson and Sterling Shepard, who's a veteran in the league, and the other Johnson. They got two Johnsons. Can you say
Johnson
that?
Johnson and Johnson. They got two Johnsons. Twin Johnsons.
With two Johnsons and a Shepard, and then maybe Mike Evans coming back. This man, White's been playing good in the backfield, filling in for Bucky, but this team's going to be good in the future. Tampa, once they get fully healthy with Godwin and everyone coming back fully healthy, they're going to be dangerous the second half of the year. Man, Detroit versus them, that should be like an 8 o'clock, 8:30 primetime game, only one on. Give me Tampa Bay. Detroit's going to put up a fight, though, especially if they're in Detroit, right?
They are, yes.
Yeah, man, they're going to put up a fight, but I like Tampa to pull one off. Big statement game. We talk about these statement games all the time, right?
Yep.
One for Tampa. Make a statement. Show everybody who you are.
Sir, what do you think?
This is a tough game. I hate betting against someone like Baker Mayfield, especially this year. And I think you made a really good point early on. You said almost like doesn't matter the injuries because he's making it work with whoever's out there. Abuka has exceeded even the preseason hype that he had, which was pretty high. To not have him this week is going to hurt a lot. Oh, man, I want to take the Bucs so bad, but I think that the Lions' offense is too high-powered for this defense. I don't think they're going to be able to stop them for 4 quarters. I hate to take a NFC North team to win this game, but I think the Lions take it.
Yeah, this is an awesome matchup. I agree, Mike. This should just be the only game on. There's no reason you have two Monday night games. I'm going to say it again, but this game's awesome. I do have to go with the Lions. I think you guys all made great points about the Bucks. I'm really looking forward to watching them this season. I think the Lions at home are just a little extra special too, especially coming off a loss, looking to bounce back at home Monday night. I think they get the job done there. Then the second of these two Monday night games, don't have to spend too much time. Texans come off their bye, go to Seattle. Seattle 3.5-point favorites. Seattle's been sneaky good. You know, Sam Darnold's getting the job done. JSN looks like probably top three wide receivers in football, at least this season. And their defense has been very solid. Texans defense has been solid too. I don't know what their numbers look like, but I know they're sneakily one of the best units in football. And if Houston finds the offense to match it, which I think coming out of the bye will be good for them, this will be a pretty good game. But Seattle's just a really tough place to play. I'm going to go with Seattle. They're 3.5-point favorites. I don't like that half, but at home, I'll take Seattle to cover, and I'll take them to win. Mike, what do you
think? I like Seattle to win, too. Don't got to spend much time on this. Houston, I think, is just like going into each week, like almost like the Saints, looking to get through this year and be happy to play and participate and get their check. Seattle's coach is good. McDonald, we talked about this before. JSN's playing out of his mind. Sam Darnold is solid again, man. Another year in a row. Don't know what their run game really is yet with Walker and Charbonnet. That's always like a guess each week. But yeah, I like Seattle, man. I definitely like their defense as well. I agree. You know, they're a tough team, especially to play in Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's too much to this game. I think Seattle's just the better team. I don't really know what CJ Stroud I'm going to get on a week-to-week basis. Texans team's got a great defense as always, but I don't think it's going to be enough to hold off Seattle at home.
Yeah, that's well said. And that's week 7, fellas. Sir, thanks for joining us. Thanks for talking City Boys, talking fantasy, talking week 7. We appreciate you. Mike, you got anything to say?
No, man, I'm really happy, sir. Thanks for joining us. I love having these guests on. A lot of good insight. Great fantasy talk. I really like that about working trades out. We did it with Nikki too, like with the thought process moving forward. This is going to be really cool. I know we had a little extended episode, but we had a lot of fun. So I appreciate everybody listening to us out there. Keep supporting us. One quick question for the both of you. What's because, you know, big golfers on this channel, what's something you want to try to work on end of the season going into next season? Are you changing anything in your golf game? Are you looking to, you know, or keep the same? But what are you looking forward to at the end of the year, maybe implement to get better with next year?
For the golf game?
For the golf game, yeah.
Ooh, I think it's as simple as, like, just swinging a club once a week when I can't play, like when I during the winter. I think taking 2 to 3 months and not touching a club is just like you're fighting so hard at the beginning of the golf year to try to figure out your swing. And it's like, I remember at the end of last golf season, like I shot my best score and then it's like, oh, now I can't play for 3 months. So it's like, you know, I don't want to lose those feels, those swing thoughts. So I think for me, it's just like, I want to, you know, find a way to keep swinging a club. I love just walking around with a wedge and working on that. Yeah, that's it for me. Just, you know, keeping consistent in the off season.
Yeah. I like that. I think the big thing, Mike, for me that I've taken away from this golf season is I really would like to work on my club face control. And I mean, obviously it's one of the hardest things about the sport, right? But I do feel like my ball striking made a significant leap from this season to since last season. I do feel better with the club in my hand striking the ball. But we play in a lot of woodland golf, a lot of, you know, tree-lined, you know, northeastern style golf where If you have a six iron in your hand and you're striking the ball well, but it leaks out to the right, now not only is it in the woods, it's deep in the woods. So it's almost points where I'm like, I almost rather would have chunked that because now I'm at least alive. So I'm noticing that a lot about my game is like I leave feeling disappointed with my score, but happy with the way I struck the ball, which is one thing, but I still didn't score well. So that's the one thing I'm looking to take away from this season of, all right, how can I at least, I'm never going to strike it perfect every time, but how do I learn to feel what it's like to, okay, my club face was closed there. That's why I pulled it, or it's, you know, I left it wide open. That's why I'm pushing it way right. So I sometimes I just feel lost where I'm like, I thought I struck that perfect and it's way right. And it goes far, but it's, you know, left open. So what about you, Mike? What are you thinking going into this next golf season, this off season, trying to work on?
I agree. I think the area where we live, it's tough to play. It's tough to have a slightly missed shot because it can go wrong for you really quickly. For me, it's getting like a 60 degree comfortable in my hand around the green where I'm able to use it and not think I'm going to like thin something or chunk anything, get better with that at the end of the year to get on the green, because I'm not as comfortable with it sometimes. And I go to this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, I use my pitching wedge a lot and I'll just almost use it. You know, I have this like fancy way of striking it to getting on the green, but the rollout is too much a lot of times. So I got to get better with that 60 degree in my hand. That would, I think, help my game a lot. But I definitely like Serb's point there of getting the club in my hand every now and then this winter and just swinging a little bit and being comfortable with that. And I wish I got to play more. I wish I got to play more, both of you as well, this season. So hopefully we can look forward to that next year when I make my trip out to Pittsburgh. And, you know, on my home. Yeah, we'll sneak something in.
Let's go.
Get that 60 working, man. It's a game changer. You get those, they're kind of intimidating. I feel like you're going to, thin them or chunk them every time you hit them. But once you get them going, I'm telling you what, that's going to take so many strokes off your game.
I agree. I like that, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Serb. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you jumping on and chat, man. Week 7 in the fantasy football, league that we got to talk about, and regular football we got to talk about. So we'll be back for week 8.
Peace. Keep that inbox open. I'm still looking at trades.
Oh, I'm definitely sending something your way.
All right, Joe. Peace.
All right.